These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wing. Well, Ireland are top of the charts after the opening two rounds. They lead the way on 10 points at the top of the Six Nations table after another bonus point win yesterday. They scored 36 points, kept Italy scoreless at the Aviva Stadium. Six tries overall, including two from Dan Sheehan, as well as one apiece from Jack Crowley. His first for Ireland, and Jack Conan, James Lowe and Calvin Nash also with the tries. Rory O'Connor and Keane Tracy are here with me. Rory, so far, so damn good by Ireland in the Six Nations.
Yeah, a cut above the rest, really, Sinead. I mean, I don't think they really had to raise much of a gallop to, you know, blow Italy away over the course of 80 minutes yesterday to nail them. You know, the first time they've nailed an opponent in the championship since it was the Five Nations in 1987 against England. You know, something that really just doesn't happen very often. We've had a lot worse Italy teams come to Dublin and get a try along the way, and really Italy never barely threatened. I know they could have had 3 points from Garbisi before the scoring started, that poor kick that he had early on, but in reality they were never in the game. Ireland didn't really they didn't come to play, and that probably limited what Ireland did a little bit. That's a lot of what Andy Farrell was saying afterwards, but when Ireland found a way to play, they created some really, really good tries. You know, got their set piece functioning very, very well. Obviously, there's bigger tests to come in terms of the scrum particularly, but they'll be very happy with the way it ran. And, you know, when they regather later this week, they've so much to work on as well, because they were good in Marseille, very good in Marseille, but I think their sense is that France were really poor. So they feel like they have a lot to get better, and they have incredible competition because he makes six changes. And even with those six changes, the team keeps humming along. So now he has to choose between the team from Marseille and the guys that came in and did well on Sunday. So a really good place. And, you know, they are the best team in this tournament. They just need to prove it now by going out in the next three games and winning them and going back-to-back Grand Slams.
Yeah, Keane, Andy Farrell was very happy with the set piece yesterday. He said in one of his TV post-match interviews that he thought their scrum was man of the match. Eight scrums won by Ireland yesterday, none lost. They also won 13 of their line-outs, none lost. They had one steal. It kind of makes the fact that the line-out didn't function at the World Cup fully all the more annoying when we see how well it operates and how that just, you know, flows into the way Ireland play.
Well, it's been the perfect response, really, hasn't it? They were 13 out of 13 in Marseille last week as well. So to back it up with another 13 successful lineouts, that's an incredible return from a set piece, which was stuttering at the World Cup. Although, as Dan Sheehan reminded me in the mix zone after Marseille, not directly, but indirectly, that he was injured for a lot of the first half of the World Cup. And I think when he came back, the lineup maybe wasn't as poor as it was when he wasn't there. But I mean, you had a new caller in James Ryan calling, not a new caller, but he wasn't obviously calling the lineout last week. It was Tadhg Byrne in Marseille. So that's a big feather in the cap for Paul O'Connell, I think, and the pack as a whole. Peter O'Mahony, another outstanding lineout operator, wasn't there yesterday against Italy either. So for me, the set piece was a huge positive. I mean, you look at Andrew Porter, he saw off both Italian tight heads. They made a change at halftime. I think Ireland finished with five scrum penalties, which, look, it's an Italian scrum that's not exactly on the level of South Africa, France or the All Blacks, whatever. But I mean, it's still There's been question marks over Andrew Porter's, I suppose, legality, fairly or unfairly so. But that was a great response, really. Italy bringing on a new tight end at halftime. And it didn't make any difference at all. Ireland were just totally dominant up front. And you're right to touch on the line-out as well, Sinead. Everything does kind of flow from there. We saw it in Marseille. All five tries stemmed from line-out. So look, Paul O'Connell came into the Six Nations, I think, under a bit of pressure. But they've come up with the perfect response, really. And I think the fact that it was James Ryan coming in and calling the line out is even more of a positive rather than it being the same sort of setup as it was in Marseille. And for me, that was probably the biggest positive from yesterday's win over Italy. We would have had, I think, a few question marks in the past when Andy Farrell has made changes. It's been a bit clunky, even though he did use that word again yesterday. But I didn't think it was anything like the performances against Fiji a couple of years ago, the World Cup warm-up game against Samoa, even in Rome last year. I thought Ireland were far better yesterday now, albeit Rudd, I think, has hit the nail on the head. I think we do need to caveat by the fact that Italy, I thought, were really poor. I know they're in a bit of transition under a new head coach, but I just didn't think they offered that much threat at all yesterday. So to have made six changes to the starting team, another five on the bench, and to have scored 36 points, six tries, kept Italy scoreless and still find faults and things to work on ahead of Wales in a fortnight, I think is a very good place to be.
What about Jack Crowley's performance, Rory? I mean, he scored his first try for Ireland in the build-up to Dan Sheehan's first try. He had the excellent no-look pass and to Hugo Keenan, who ran a brilliant line. He missed those three conversions, which undoubtedly he will be kicking himself over. But that is an area of his game that he will be able to work on, and he should be able to improve on.
I mean, like, he has to if he wants to nail this jersey down for the next 10 years, which he looks like he has the capacity to do. You know, he looks, even just, I was listening to the BBC podcast this morning, and Jonathan Davies was raving about what he's doing. You know, he's starting to catch the eye of people beyond Ireland and look the part. And we know that Italy are in transition. We know that England are in transition. We know that Wales are in transition. We know that France are in transition. But Ireland are in transition as well. And what's impressed me the most about Ireland is the fact that they're integrating a new 10 and replacing Johnny Sexton on the run. And they're not breaking stride while doing it. And that's a testament to the way that they've, and Andy Farrell has bedded Jack Crowley in over the last year since he kind of came on, you know, since the Emerging Ireland tour, maybe a year and a half now. He carried the tee for Sexton last year. He's, you know, he has been in and around the camp. He's been in nearly every training session for a long time. And the same with Joe McCarthy, who's been around for a long time before kind of making his name last Friday in Marseille. So Crowley looked incredibly comfortable. His ability to run an attack is excellent. I think he can be more consistent across 80 minutes. Now, you know, Saturday or Sunday was a difficult game because it lacked flow because of the way Italy wouldn't play in their own half. But when it comes to the tighter games, whether that's Twickenham away, whether that's the tour of South Africa in the summer when they're trying to beat the Springboks away from home, he will need to be a much higher... I haven't got his percentage in front of me, but I think turning those fives into sevens has been part of what Ireland have done really well over the last couple of years. And Sexton, no one's 100% off the tee, but drilling those down and making a five into a seven can be so effective on the scoreboard. And we have had examples of Munster this year, particularly over at Exeter, where he didn't do that. And Munster's excellent 60 minutes, but they left the door open for Exeter and they came back and won the game. And it's not the only reason for that, but just giving a team a glimmer of hope can be a dangerous thing. So it's an area of his game that he can and hopefully he will improve. But a lot of his game is right there already. And, you know, he's very, very impressive and he's doing very impressive things.
Keen.
Yeah, I was very impressed. I saw a TV clip on social media, and there seemed to be, was a clamor or what, but like almost pushing Harry Byrne, I think, into the conversation, which of course he is. But for me, I think there's clear distance at the moment with Jack Crowley and the chasing pack. I mean, Ross Byrne still has to come back in, but I think for his first two Six Nations starts, and Rudd has kind of touched on it there, I think the biggest compliment you could give Jack Crowley is that very few people are talking about Johnny Sexton. That to me speaks volumes for how well he's played, for how well he's integrated. He's come into a system which is so well oiled and so well tuned, and he slotted in well, but also tried to bring a bit of his own personality as well. We saw that several times in Marseille as well. And that's brilliant. Like, he's been given the freedom to do that. Like his goal kicking, yeah, sure, it wasn't good yesterday, and he will be annoyed with three misses. But when I watch him kick, he's got a beautiful strike and flow and technique, and the way he fired over those two touchline conversions in at the Stade Vélodrome look shows that he can do it under pressure. So it's just finding that consistency, as Rudd has touched on, and maybe that is, look, he's far from the complete player anyway, like he's only 24 years old, but it is something that he's going to need to work on, and for sure I wouldn't be overly concerned by it, I have to say. But some of his passing yesterday was just an absolute joy to watch. The no-look pass that he threw for Hugo Keenan was just delightful. And then he reloads back over to the far side where he throws a lovely offload for Robbie Henshaw, who passes it to Stuart McCloskey, who puts Dan Sheehan over in the corner, which was probably the pick of the bunch in terms of the try. So look, he is adding a little bit different. We're seeing how much of a threat he is to the line. He's got a really good kicking game. He's varying his play very well. It's keeping the defence on his toes. He, like, something that we don't really talk enough about is probably his defense. He never shirks his defensive responsibilities. He's a bit like, he puts his body on the line. He makes his tackles. So like, I think all in all, for the first 2 weeks, it's been really positive. I've been a little bit surprised by, I don't know if doubts are the word, like even, you know, a couple of WhatsApp groups that I'm in, you know, people still like kind of unsure about Jack Crowley. And I have to say, I mean, sometimes I'm wondering if I'm watching a different game. Again, I know it's caveated by, like, it was a poor Italian team, but we can't ignore what he did in Marseille the previous week. That was an exceptional performance. Okay, he had a couple of errors, but the composure he showed was really impressive. And I thought he built on that yesterday. So I'd be very surprised if Harry Byrne, Ross Byrne, or even Kieran Frawley was to overtake Jack Crowley in this Six Nations. And I think, you know, as long as he keeps building on it, I think he is going to be Ireland's 10 for the foreseeable future.
Keeney, I totally agree with you. I do not agree with the negativity, that some of the negativity that's been thrown at Jack Crowley. He's going to grow into the Six Nations, I've no doubt. Rory, what about Harry Byrne's performance? He got a good 25 minutes. Obviously, the downside to that was that Hugo Keenan had to come off with that knee injury, and we'll see how that will, if he'll be able to recover in time for the Wales game. But what did you make of Harry Byrne's performance? He had that knock on when he came on, but he had that good conversion at the end for Calvin Nash's try.
Yeah, like he had a couple of nice touches, as he always does, Harry Byrne. Like he's a very fluid-looking rugby player. I think that Ireland lost their way a little bit in that last 20-25 minutes, and I think Andy Farrell talked about how the bench chased it a little bit. We saw a couple of wraparounds that didn't really work. The Italians, in fairness to them, didn't go away. They kept defending right until the end, and Byrne, you know, comes in and like he's trying to impress. It's the first cap since 2020 or 2021, and like I think the criticism that you touch on with Jack Crowley, the slight unfairness of that is kind of an unrealistic expectation of what these players are able to achieve at a very, you know, early part of their international career. You know, I mean, Harry Byrne has had a long spells out of the game. He's been in and out for Leinster this year because of injuries, and you know, his career has been very stop start. I still don't feel like I can make a definitive judgment on him because I haven't seen enough of him. We're seeing more of him, and the more we see, the more we'll learn. But I definitely think he's got a fairly big distance to travel, but you know, to try and close that gap on Jack Crowley. And I think if Ross Byrne does become fit, and it's one of the, you know, we haven't really found that out from the IRFU where Ross Byrne is at. It's been a while since we got a definitive update on him from Leinster. I think Ross is still ahead of him in the pecking order because I think Ross is much greater experience, and at test match level, you would have much greater trust in throwing him into a tight game at Twickenham. So, but look, it's good that he got the opportunity. This post Johnny Sexton era is fascinating because we know so little about these players because they've all come on the scene, even though like Frawley's 26, but he's played so little rugby at 10. Prendergast obviously might get a run now for Leinster this weekend, which gives him another opportunity to play at senior level. But Crowley to me has put some distance between the chasing pack and himself. And I think you can look at him getting charged down twice in two games and the missed conversions and hone in on those. But I think to do that is ignoring all the really, really good stuff that Akeen mentioned. You know, some of his touches were exceptional, and the way he cut apart a very committed Italian defence across the game was really excellent. And, you know, a week ago he did the same against a better French team and went up a level, and there's going to be mistakes, you know, for these players. Like, and they should be allowed to make mistakes. They're they're only starting out on their career, and Sexton made mistakes. So to hold him to that standard, I think people are holding him to an unrealistic version of what Johnny Sexton did, never mind the real version of what Johnny Sexton did, which is obviously a very experienced player. So look, neither of them did themselves any damage at the weekend. Burn just needs to do more to close that gap.
Yeah, you mentioned there, Ciarán Frawley. In the event that Hugo Keenan isn't fit, and it's so I can't remember ever him going off, leaving a game because of injury. But in the event that he isn't fit for the Wales game, who would you put in there at fullback? Obviously, Jimmy O'Brien, Mac Hansen are out injured. So who's next up for you?
I think Jacob Stockdale is the kind of most natural fullback left in the squad. If Keenan, I mean, it's a bit of a problem position for Ireland in terms of the outstanding candidate is so outstanding that there hasn't been any opportunity for anyone else. And Jimmy O'Brien got a run there in the World Cup warm-ups and it didn't go great for him. He doesn't get a lot of game time at Leinster there. You know, Jordan Larmour and Jacob Stockdale were the fullbacks at the start of the Andy Farrell era. Larmour had a brilliant game at fullback at the start of the 2019 World Cup in that game against Scotland, but we don't see him there very often anymore. His aerial work really isn't strong enough. Stockdale, I think, is better in the air and brings a lot of really good attributes to the role, but I doubt his concentration across 80 minutes of Test match rugby, and I worry about the mistakes that he lets slip into his game. I think he doesn't, he doesn't nail it, but like there's so much potential with Jacob Stockdale. Yeah. That it's such a shame that they can't find a way to get him into the team. So if Keenan goes down, I'd like to see him given a go there. But, you know, I think he has a huge job to do to kind of close that gap on Hugo Keenan, or even just kind of to do what Keenan does. Because Keenan's work rate, his defensive work in Marseille last week when he drilled Penault twice, and his attacking prowess, the way he joined the line and sparked the game into life on Sunday, you know, that quick tap penalty was so key to Ireland just rising rising the occasion, just giving the whole place a lift. Even when he got injured, he had two really brilliant attacking moments in the build up to damaging his knee. Long term, maybe it's no harm. Hopefully, it's not anything serious. We're not talking ligaments or anything, but maybe it's no harm that Andy Farrell's hand is forced, and we get to see what's beneath the surface. Because obviously, this could happen at a more pivotal stage. But for Ireland's championship hopes, for Hugo Keenan himself, you hope he's going to be okay, and you know you don't want to wish injury on anyone. But it's been a lingering question over Ireland for a while, and we're going to find out now what Andy Farrell's thinking if. It's confirmed, and we probably won't find out until they name the team, because they've stopped doing injury updates to the RFU this season. So we'll have to just, Keane will have his sources out trying to sniff it out. But it's like, we don't know is the real answer, but I would go Stockdale. I know Keane might have a different take on it.
Yeah, I like, being honest, I would have concerns about Larmour and Stockdale positionally, defensively. Okay, Larmour is definitely susceptible in the air, maybe not so much Jacob Stockdale, but it's such an important position that I just think the opposition would go after them big time. Ciarán Frawley is another potential option, but does he have the top end pace to play at fullback at test level? There's question marks there as well. I did think it was interesting that, you know, it was Jack Crowley, that it was Jack Crowley who switched to 15. Look, we know he's done it for Munster over the years. He can play 12 as well. I think there was an element that, you know, Andy Farrell wanted to get Harry Byrne some game time at 10, which was totally fair enough. We touched on this in our preview pod that in an ideal world, Harry Byrne would get 20, 25 minutes, and that's what happened. Look, Harry Byrne can play a bit of 12. I don't know if I've ever seen him at 15, but I think Farrell would be very reluctant to move Jack Crowley from the start from 10. Like I mentioned earlier, I think it's really important that he starts all of these Six Nations games in terms of that time in the saddle. So I wonder, would Calvin Nash be an option? You touched on him earlier, Sinead. I've been really impressed with him, I have to say, over the first 2 weeks. He's slotted in really well to the system. I think it's noticeable how much Ireland use him as a carrier in off his wing as well. He's a good defender. He's good in the air. I think he might have played a bit of fullback for Munster, not a whole pile, but I think he has been there. I wonder, would he be a potential option? And then you could move Jordan Larmour onto the right wing. I'd be much more kind of comfortable in seeing Larmour on the wing rather than fullback. So that's potentially what they could do. They've tried a couple of options. Like Mike Lowry played against Italy, remember a couple of years ago, scored two tries, could have had a hat-trick. He's off the scene at the moment. Mike Haley has been good for Munster, was good for Munster last year, but obviously hasn't played yet this season due to injury. So Hugo Keenan is... so consistent and also so durable that we almost take it for granted that he's the first name on the team sheet. But there is going to come a day where Hugo Keenan is going to pick up a knock or whatever. We hope it's not going to be for that Wales game. But I agree with Rudd. If it is, there's probably no harm in Andy Farrell, you know, seeing what else is out there, because you don't want to become overly reliant on Keenan, which Ireland probably have, to be honest.
Yeah, well, Caelan Doris slotted seamlessly into the captain's role, didn't he? Keane, you asked him at the post-match press conference yesterday about his nerves and how he felt going into the game. So let's hear from Caelan. But first, here's Andy Farrell's overall view of the game.
Yeah, very pleasing, because it's a different type of game this year against Italy, because they are very pragmatic in how they exit their own half. It's completely different to how they played last year. So, you know, I thought our kicking game at times in the first half didn't complement too much as far as our clean exits and being able to get the ball back on the back of that. You know, some of our kicks were too long. But as far as they're concerned, they kept playing in their own half to a minimum, and it makes it tough to try and get the ball back in the right parts of the field, you know. So we need to be patient enough and find a way of doing that, and I thought we did eventually through kick pressure, defensive line speed, getting the ball back that way, quick tap from Hugo, etc., and got ourselves a bit of flow into the game that way. So it was pleasing that we found a way to get in control again.
It's special, and not only the group we have makes it all the more special. Like, we're a very tight-knit group, but this group has largely been together for the guts of 4 years plus now. The relationships we have are special, and the environment that Faz and Gary and all the coaches have set about being ourselves and being vulnerable makes my job easier, made it easier this week, and I leaned heavily on the other lads quite a bit as well. I think, yeah, from a personal point of view as well, it's sort of, I hope that all the people who've been involved from Ballinlad all the way to Blackrock all the way take a little bit of pride from this and from seeing me captain the country today. So no, I'm delighted with it.
Just in case you didn't catch what Andy Farrell said there, he said that Peter O'Mahony was shitting himself last week as well. I mean, Farrell just knows how to lighten the moment, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just throws out these really interesting nuggets. He did it last week in Marseille when he told us that Calvin Nash was really, really nervous as well. And then Calvin Nash came out himself and said that he was crawling up the walls and texting Keith Earls. And look, I think it just humanizes the players, because that's what they are at the end of the day. Rudd kind of touching it about people's realistic expectations of young tens. Like Calvin Nash last week in Marseille, that was by far the biggest game of his career, and he handled it really well. And like, I made this point in a piece that I wrote after the press conference yesterday, that I didn't think Caelan Doris looked or played like a man who was nervous, but he wouldn't be human if he wasn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a big, big occasion for him and his family. It was nice that he touched there on, you know, the people of Blackrock, but also Ballina. I think it gets forgotten that, you know, Caelan Doris's story, so much of it is rooted in Mayo and not just in the private schools in Dublin. But I just thought it was interesting that Andy Farrell threw it out about Peter O'Mahony, because, you know, I'd imagine it made Caelan Doris feel just a little bit better about himself, that Peter O'Mahony, you know, for whom it was a big occasion as well, obviously captaining Ireland as the permanent captain for the first time last week, that everyone does get nervous. And yeah, it just shows, I think, the relationship that Andy Farrell has with his players. We have a piece up online at the moment with Stuart McCloskey, and he was very interesting as well. I thought he had a really good game, I have to say, with Robbie Henshaw. I thought the two of them dovetailed really nicely. But he was making the point that Farrell came up to McCloskey and Robbie Henshaw separately, I think it was on Wednesday last week, and basically told them that they were going to be starting together and that they weren't very good the last time they played together. It was against Samoa in the World Cup warm-up game in Bayonne. So like, for a head coach to challenge a player like that, like, that could go one or two ways, you know. A player could go back into their shell, but I thought both of them, like Henshaw, I think, has been excellent over the last while. He was brilliant in Marseille, but he was also excellent for Leinster in Welford Road a few weeks ago. I was over at that game. That kind of got a little bit under the radar a bit, but he was excellent. But Stuart McCloskey came in yesterday and didn't really miss a beat. His offloading, like, was just so key to Ireland's attack. And I thought it was a brilliant response to Andy Farrell challenging him. And look, he's reminded everyone that if Bundyaki or Robbie Henshaw aren't available, then Stuart McCloskey is a very able deputy. And, you know, his rise over the last couple of years has been brilliant, because it looked like he was never going to play international rugby again. He admitted again, you know, his face didn't really fit under Joe Schmidt. Probably that offloading game was a bit too loose for Schmidt, but Farrell came in and really likes what he does. And he's just unfortunate that he's caught between, you know, Robbie Henshaw, who's excellent, and a World Player of the Year nominee, Bundyaki, who's playing the best rugby of his career. But it shows the strength and depth that Ireland have in midfield. It's definitely a positive.
Yeah, and just on Caelan Doris, James Lowe was in the mix zone as well yesterday evening, and he said that Doris gave a really inspirational speech before the game yesterday. Lowe obviously got the man of the match himself yesterday, and his influence on games is just growing and growing, isn't it? He spoke as well about Jack Crowley, but first, here he is on Caelan Doris.
Look, he's a great dude on and off the pitch. He is a very good learner. He's a great listener. His speech before the game was outstanding, to the point, emotional, direct. It was, you know, it was like he's done it before, you know. And fair play, he took it all in the stride. He still performed outstandingly. He talked about how nervous he was, you know, a young fella, but great head on his shoulders. And, you know, I think he's going to be around for a long time. And, you know, we was at 7 today, but took it in a stride and played outstanding, yeah. Yeah, he's a lot of pressure on him, obviously. There's been some world-class 10s come before him, so he's taken it in a stride and bossing around week to week. He hasn't quite got that Sexto aura about him. He hasn't got the stare down packed yet. So, but no, he's awesome. He's growing into it. Showed a bit of, a bit to his game, slotting into 15 as well. So fair play to him. He's a young man with a good head on his shoulders, and think he could go far in this game, yeah.
Rory, we spoke on Friday about players like Ryan Baird, like Craig Casey, who came into the team yesterday. Did anyone press their case hard enough to make that team, to get into that team to play Wales?
I think when the team that you're trying to get into puts 5 tries on France and Marseille, it's very hard to change Andy Farrell's mind. And you know, I thought Ryan Baird did a lot of things well. I thought he definitely pressed his case and put his hand up for inclusion somewhere in that 23, but he's up against the captain, and that's going to be very difficult to get back in. So I don't know if anyone did enough to really, like, you know, if Aki's fit, did McCluskey do enough? But he did everything he could, but Aki's operating at such a level that, you know, poor Stuart McCluskey probably isn't going to be starting against Wales. The only thing he could do is go, well, we've rotated my squad and it's gone well. Wales are the second worst team in this tournament. We're at home. Why don't you do a bit of a hybrid and rotate again and try and use the squad to win the Six Nations? Because I think Ireland are in a position where they can do that. Obviously, you leave yourself open to things going wrong and having egg on your face. But, you know, it doesn't look like there's anything in this championship that's really anything to fear. The only thing is, I suppose, it's another 3 or 4 weeks to Twickenham. So if you don't play your starting team again, do you risk them coming in a little bit cold for that game? You know, Finlay Beelam did well, but Tadhg Furlong, I think, is an automatic starter. You know, Beelam's a very good bench option. Craig Casey, I don't think, did enough to really press his own case. I don't know if he took control of that first half in the way that Andy Farrell wanted him to. When there was a bit of box kicking going on, the stadium fell into a lull. He kind of got sucked into playing the game that Italy wanted to play. And there was one moment in particular where he put a box kick up when Ireland had numbers on loads of numbers on the outside. And I think Gibson Park would have, maybe I'm being overly harsh, and again comparing Casey to a very high standard of player, but I think Gibson Park might have saw the spot of that space and moved the ball. And Ireland are a better team when they have the ball in hand and are moving it. And I understand that they don't play much rugby in their own 22, but they're not usually afraid to play in between the kind of the 10 and the 22 in their own half. They have the capacity to shift it there when it's on, and he missed one or two moments there. And like, these players are being held up against a very high standard. You know, it's a team that's won 19 games in 20, so it's a hard team to get into. But certainly none of them, like, I don't think Casey's stock would have fallen. I just don't think he did anything to make it rise. And maybe he gets a bench spot next time, but Conor Murray was on the line the other day. And like, you know, he's just so experienced. Andy Farrell likes him being able to close out these games. That's a tight call. So I don't think any of them did themselves any damage, but it's such a hard team to get into. I really think that if Andy Farrell's going for his best team against Wales in 2 weeks' time, which he doesn't necessarily have to, then the Marseille team are going to come back in. Because, like, you know, Tyburn, I still think, did more in Marseille than James Ryan, who was very good against Italy, did. And it's hard for, I think Ryan just reverts to the bench.
Yeah, I would agree. I've made this point earlier. I think the biggest positive was that Farrell made so many changes and the levels didn't drop a whole pile, whereas that has happened in the past. So I think he'll be comforted by, you know, James Ryan, like Rudd said, coming in, calling 100% lineout. He knows now that if he does need him for that Wales game, that there's no issues. I've touched on Stuart McCloskey. I agree with Craig Casey. I thought Finlay Beelam was excellent, you know, similarly to Johnny Sexton and Jack Crowley. I mean, no one was really talking about how much Ireland missed Tadhg Furlong at the weekend. And what a week for Finlay Beelam, who became a dad for the first time earlier in the week, missed a bit of training and came back up. So really special few days for himself and his family. And look, this isn't the first time that Finlay Beelam has come in instead of Tadhg Furlong and hasn't really missed a beat. He was part of, I singled out Andrew Porter earlier, but he was part of that dominant scrum as well. So I think that's a huge positive for Farrell, but I'd be very surprised if he doesn't go back to the Marseille team if everyone's fit. I suppose the one player we should mention is Gary Ringrose. We're not sure if he's going to be fit in time. Like Rudd said, the injury updates haven't been as regular as we're used to this season. So if Gary Ringrose is fit, does he come back in? I would say he wouldn't start, to be honest, because I think you have to reward Aki and Henshaw. Mm-hmm. I think Henshaw's been very good. Does that mean Ringrose comes onto the bench at 23 maybe? I don't know. Do you necessarily have to go with a 6-2 split on the bench for that Wales game? So, look, it's a couple of weeks away. Obviously, Ireland have a down week this week. The Marseille game will feel like a long time ago by the time we get to that Wales game. But I think you have to reward form for that. It was such a good, accomplished performance, I think, from 1 to 23. So I'd be very surprised if Farrell doesn't revert back to that. Because, look, I think the Italy game was the one he was always going to make the changes. And when you look back at the way he's picked teams, he doesn't generally rotate heavily throughout a campaign. And, you know, you've seen it in the way he's picked Peter O'Mahony as his captain for this Six Nations. It's all about the here and now. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't go back to that Marseille team. I think it'd be fully deserved for everyone who got that win.
Yeah. So lads, from the evidence we've seen of the two opening weekends, and yes, look, we know there's another three rounds to go, but it is realistically at this moment looking like this is Ireland's Grand Slam championship to lose.
I don't think there's any way. Look, I don't think it's an Irish thing to say that. I think everyone, you listen to the media in England and in Wales and Scotland. I mean, the fare on Saturday across both games was so mediocre, and Italy were so poor on Sunday as well. It does feel like a lot of the other teams have kind of gone back a couple of steps since the World Cup, and Ireland have just kept on motoring. And we probably can't tell if Ireland have gone back a little. Doesn't look like they have. France have really come back to the pack. They've been, you know, they were so lucky to get away from Murrayfield. Scotland probably are nearly as consistent as Ireland in some ways, but that's, you know, they haven't kicked on, which is what they needed to do. They had such a poor World Cup. And I thought the paucity of their ambition in the second half, you know, they almost deserved what happened to them, which is probably very harsh. But, you know, I thought when they were 6 points up and were playing that horrible kick tennis game, and you know, the players using the DuPont rule and players standing still, it just almost invited France to kind of, you know, do the smash and grab, even if they were robbed a little bit at the end. And then England and Wales was, you know, like, a lot of it was scrum resets, and there was entertaining moments in that game, but really the quality on show was well below what we're seeing from Ireland. And look, those teams could get better as the tournament goes on, and we have to see whether Ireland can kick on and what Andy Farrell chooses to do with this team. But the attacking play they're able to generate, the quality of the options that Jack Crowley and Gibson Park or Casey or Murray have to play with, the calibre of their ball carriers, the Joe McCarthy factor that he's come in and added to what they can do in terms of their defence. There's just so many layers. They're quick, the speed of their ball, the quality of their set piece now. You know, I don't see a scrum. Maybe England could get on top of them a little bit, but, you know, that's a bit of a stretch from what we've seen so far. So they're the best team in this competition. Like, I playfully suggested in my intro today that, you know, they might have to join the Rugby Championship to get a decent game. But, you know, I think the Six Nations will improve as the cycle goes on. But right now, Ireland have kept on motoring and are quite far ahead of everyone else. And the only team that can stop them, really, I think, is themselves.
Yeah, we touched on this last week after the game in Marseille, that it looked like France were still suffering from a World Cup hangover. I think there's probably a bit of a malaise across the board in the Six Nations, really, particularly when you look at the two games we saw on Saturday. But to turn that back around on Ireland, I mean, I think that it reflects so well on Ireland that they haven't kind of fallen into that trap about... Not saying other teams are feeling, well, like France actually looked like they are feeling sorry for themselves, and they just look like a totally different team since the World Cup. I know they're missing DuPont and a couple of others, but they look totally devoid of inspiration, a spark, whereas Ireland have just picked up where they left off. I know obviously they lost the quarterfinal, but up to that they were the best team in the world, and they look exceptional at the moment as well. And that's probably a testament to the players, it's the coaches, it's the backroom team. You know, a guy like Gary Keegan has come in over the last couple of years, worked a huge amount on their mental skills. And we've heard lots of the players mention him over the last while, and they're still mentioning him at the moment. So he's obviously played a key role, I suppose, in turning the page really from the World Cup, because it would be easy for Ireland players to feel sorry for themselves, particularly the older ones who know that that was their opportunity to win a World Cup, because lots of these guys probably won't be in Australia in 2027. But it's been backboned by a young cohort of players. We've mentioned Jack Crowley, you've got Dan Sheehan, the fact that Caelan Dorris was named captain, I thought was a great choice by Andy Farrell. Mm-hmm. Look, we don't know how long Peter O'Mahony is going to be Ireland captain for. I still think Peter O'Mahony was the ideal choice for now, but long-term, I think the more we're going to see Caelan Dorris take on the captaincy, it's going to become clear that he probably will be the long-term successor. Jack Honan was speaking about him yesterday, how he's just so calm under pressure, you know, even though he might be nervous, as we heard Andy Farrell and himself saying earlier, but he doesn't really show it. And I think like players feed off that confidence. So while there is, you know, we still have like the likes of Bundiaki, Conor Murray, Peter O'Mahony, all these guys who are really important. They should never have been discarded. There's a real young sort of brigade breaking through now, which it's going to become their team. So for Ireland not to have kind of fallen into that trap of a World Cup hangover is hugely positive. And I agree with Rod. I think, look, there will be, I'd be surprised if there isn't going to be some hiccup along the way, but potentially in Twickenham. But I mean, the only team that really can stop them is probably themselves. I don't see them falling in love with themselves or getting complacent or anything like that. But to win a Grand Slam perfectly is a very difficult thing to do. I know they were pretty good at doing it last year. And the thing of it is, most of the squad were there when they beat England on Paddy's weekend last. We were all there as well. What a weekend that was. What an occasion. They want another taste of that with Scotland coming to Dublin next month. So, look, still loads to play for, but what a position to be in. 10 points from two after the first two rounds. Loads of players blooded. I don't think Andy Farrell could have asked for much more, really.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, that is two down, three to go in this Six Nations. Rory and Keane, thank you for that. Will and Luke will be back this week with another podcast, but that's it from us for now. Thanks for listening.